In the introduction of the Cosmic Doctrine, we spoke about how the Unfortunate was able to open a channel to the higher planes, which are the inward, deeper contacts of aspects of ourself that normally the conscious mind doesn't really access or has to create a strong union with the subconscious in order to have that response from the higher, what we call the higher planes. Now, in this video, this lecture, the Unfortunate has this clear channel now open and is able to contact to other entities who explain very clearly some concepts dealing with telepathy and how the common man has difficulty with thought forms. So very interesting reading. So it's an extension of the introduction, but let's get started with the reading and then we'll discuss thought forms and how these energies are very real and in a sense, even though they may not seem physical and we can't see them with our eyes and use our senses, we can feel them. But this teacher is actually explaining very clearly if we can comprehend what is being said. Then we can understand why our thoughts are so powerful. Okay. A statement by one of the communicating entities. Communication is performed by telepathy. That is all. Precisely the same means are used in transferring thought from a discarnate mind to an incarnate mind, as are employed in transferring thought between two incarnate minds. So basically, when we're talking to each other, it appears very real and is very real. When what appears as we're talking to ourselves, we are talking to discarnate minds. Okay. Other thought forms on different planes of existence. And can we discern and understand what is coming through and actually pay attention to these thoughts because they will reveal deeper meanings every single time. Okay. Certain technical difficulties exist, however. And to make it clear, we will first explain how thought is transferred between incarnate minds. Briefly, a thought form is built by methods we will not enter upon now. And this thought form is ensouled by a substance from a plane above that upon which it is constructed. This makes a living thing of its type. We could say that. We are in a constant flow and connected state with our higher mind, our higher self. All right. It is then cast off from the aura of its creator and in an ordinary way will hang about in his atmosphere. If he is dwelling on the subject, a thread of subtle matter will connect it with his vehicle, and those who can see it will perceive these thought forms, either embedded in the aura awaiting expulsion or hovering around like children's kites upon shorter and longer strings. Up to about 12 feet long, these strings may be. As he moves, they stream out behind and above him, and as he stands, they hover around, endued each with life of their own, and they endure as definite entities until they form in which they are ensouled wears out and falls away, whereupon the life that is within them is reabsorbed into the substance of their creator. So here we have an individual who creates a thought form, which is an entity, a living energy, sort of like a kite that is hovering in the aura or around the aura of the individual, which releases a type of radiation, right? An attraction, which other thought forms will be attracted to, which are connected to other individuals. And that's how people come in and out of our life. The stronger the thought form, the more attracted those other thoughts forms will come in, like kites flying towards the original thought. And that's how a small collective will come about. Right? Now, this is just on the physical plane, but on the higher planes, the thought forms are actually what are guiding the individuals. Okay? This is how cultures are built on a large scale because of the powerful ideas and thoughts that collaborate together and come to an agreement and build neighborhoods and cities and countries. That's how cultures are manifested on a larger scale throughout linear time. So much for the undirected thought, to which no attention is paid. Should, however, a thought be conceived in relation to a thought be conceived in relation to a definite object, then it will have a dual relationship. Firstly, to the person conceiving it, and secondly, to the object of his thought. And instead of remaining in the neighborhood of the former, it will be directed to the neighborhood of the latter, there to hover, though still connected with the originator by a tenuous thread, colored according to type. Okay, color. So we can use color as emanations and even energy types, or think of the 10 planets within astrology, they have their assigned colors. The 10 Sephiroth on the Tree of Life has its colors. Tarot has its colors. And all each have the expressive attributions affiliated with it. All right. Having arrived in the neighborhood of its object, it impinges on the aura, beating out the rhythm with which it is endowed. All right, so here we're talking about movement and rhythm. So now, as you know, rhythm and geometrical form are closely associated. Thus, a note of particular tune produced by vibrating the edge of a disc will cause particles of sand scattered upon the disk to arrange themselves along the intersecting lines of force thus generated, and so form patterns. All right, now this is interesting because if we back up a little bit and we're talking about telepathy within discarnated minds, if we quieten our mind, such as Dion Fortune practiced while training her mind to contact the master, who she called the masters on these higher planes, This is what happens when we do the same thing. All right, so even just focused on the cosmic doctrine and talking about it and working with it and trying to comprehend it, the channel is opening, the kites are flying above, which are thought forms, and these thought forms are breaking through and penetrating to the higher planes in order for that connection to be made. All right, now, once that connection is made, it doesn't mean that we have contact because the connection established could be like a static radio, but there has to be a clear connection where these higher planes can communicate and use the symbols that are already organized and established within our mind. That's key. That's very important because a lot of the ideas, the higher ideas within what we would call the unknown, that is for beneficial to evolution of humanity and consciousness, may not come across as being understood. All right. So the analogy given here is that the particular tone produced can be similar to sand on a disc that vibrates, and then it aligns with the frequency of that track within the disc, or it creates a track, and then it becomes arranged and organized. So if the particles composing the body corresponding to the particle plane upon the thought form is projected, can be caused to vibrate to the rhythm emanated by that thought form. Now this is the particles can be the cellular structure within our body and also the molecular arrangement within our mind. All of the organization will occur if we're persistent and continue to, with our thought forms, connect to the vibrational rhythm that we're attempting to connect with. All right. For example, if we want to connect, this is probably an extreme, but it's very real. If our thought forms that are created are orbiting around the energetic collective of Adonis, which is outside of our galactic core, then we have those thought forms created already that are going to attract that energetic connection. That attraction, we're going to draw it in, and especially if we're persistent. And this is what Dionne Fortune did, and what she said in her introduction. For 10 days, she dwelled on making contact with the masters. Those thought forms were created, they grew, they were nourished, and the connection was made. She trained her mind. We can do the same thing. From outside our galactic core to inside our galaxy to within our solar logos, and most importantly, to our planetary logos. And we're here in physical form on our planet. So those thought forms that are projected toward our planet are very important when it comes to healing and responding to ourself and to others. Because that magnetism will actually be, will create expansion when we're projecting into it. And it could be positive polarity or negative polarity. These particles will be arranged along the lines of the force thus set up and the corresponding form created within the vehicle. Into this form, the life of the old form passes. The old form falls to pieces, and the tenuous thread has then found lodgment within the being of the object of the thought, linking him to the originator of the thought. Thus is thought transference done. This is a gem if understood. Basically, it's saying that our thoughts are copies of another thought, in a sense. Okay, there's a stream, there's a thread that connects our thoughts to other thoughts, incarnate or discarnate. That's why it's a good idea to not be distracted a lot by what we're not interested in here on Earth, because of the noise that it creates within our mind. We become very disorganized. But at the same time, when we understand universal principles, then that's what we can project out as our thought forms here on the third density physical plane. But in the reading, here we are taking our thought forms and growing them into a way that connects to the original thought form. So, in a sense, let's just say that my higher self has created 900,000 fragments of its consciousness, and I'm just one fragment incarnated in form. My higher self had the original thought and the divine plan to use those 900,000 fragments in order to learn whatever it is to learn and to explore and to create experiences within that unit of consciousness. And I'm just one unit of consciousness, but now I have this thought form of what I just said, and it will connect with my higher self. And then, as the reading said, the old form of me, which I thought was ruled by the personality and the earthy ego, falls away, falls to pieces. And now the lodgment within myself is created. This is another way that where healing is automatically, because once we expand our consciousness and grow our consciousness in a healthy way, then we're able to learn these concepts with universal principles. And the thought transference that comes from our higher knowing, we can just ask and collaborate more. We could say, work with the angels, however we want to perceive it. All right, let's keep reading. It is a simple matter to transfer thought upon the second and third planes, thereby generating moods in the minds of the object of thoughts. These moods being of some duration, but it is a very different matter to transfer thought upon the fourth and fifth planes. The fourth plane is the most difficult of all to work upon, the emotions, emotional aspects. And work can only be done with these individuals who have learned to detach a portion of their substance and keep it in a loose and unattached condition so that it can take form in response to impacts from without. Moreover, if ideas of any complexity are to be transmitted, it is not enough that simple images could lie loose in the mind awaiting recombination into composite form. It is necessary that a great and complex variety of images be available. All right, so calm, cool, and collective when it comes to emotions and moods. Here is what the entity is speaking of, where when emotions rule the response of an individual, then the connection, of course, is not going to be very clear. All right, so if someone's very fearful or when there's self-denial of lack of remembrance of who we are, and all of this is okay because it has to be experienced. That's what we do in physical form. But eventually we want to break from that type of response and have a detached portion of ourselves with unattached conditions so that we can hear and acknowledge the thought forms that are coming in so that we can transmit as transmitters. We'll see in the next image the ideas that are coming in, because it's not the brain itself that's creating these ideas. We're not doing it individually. We share ideas in the human collective. That's how we build together. But the original thought is in the astral and floating around out there until one of us hooks into it and brings it down. All right, then we can share that idea, whether it's for the benefit of self and humanity, or if it's for it could be f for it'll fade if not long lasting. It could be more of an old belief. All right, let's keep reading. Transmitting images in color and form upon the second plane may be likened to writing with a phonic alphabet, but transmitting ideas upon the third plane may be likened to writing with the ideographic alphabet, such as the Chinese use, where each idea has a corresponding symbol, and unless that symbol be known, cannot be written. Thus, a Chinese scholar needs to know a very large number of picture signs if he is to express himself freely. That's what I like about the Hebrew language is the 22 Hebrew letters. They have multiple meanings and attributions, not just sound and color, and they also have numerical value. The English language is more superficial and is derived off the root language. For the English language is actually more idealistic when using for exploring the spiritual planes. Okay. And Chinese also, they have symbols that have multiple meanings. Now, the average uncultured mind that lends itself for the transmission of messages from one plane to another has but few ideographs, and these only relate to the happenings of daily life. Therefore, only simple messages can be sent through him, but a mind of greater culture and caliber can transmit profound concepts. So, English language is what it's saying is nothing more than like looking at a billboard, you're passing it by, it has a generic message. But I prefer Hebrew and Sanskrit because the depth and the heritage and the concepts that were built within those symbols have lasted for over 8,000 to 10,000 years. Egyptian symbols, they're still around. If we want to explore that thought stream and collective, that is still available and accessible. So all of these attempts to culture the mind. Because here where it says the average uncultured mind doesn't really have a strong transmission for the thought forms that are coming within the thought stream. To sum up, the mind has to contain a large and varied assortment of ideas, which the communicator causes to combine into new concepts. And it's very rare to find a mind in which there is a large assortment of ideas that is sufficiently fluidic to be used in this way. A well-stocked mind tends to combine its contents into organized complexes, and then the complexes form units which have to be stimulated as a whole and can only function according to their own nature and cannot be recombined to express new ideas. All right. Now, a well-stocked mind. Let me keep reading. The next paragraph explains more. Thus, supposing a man has strong ideas, shall we say, concerning social reform, this complex can have force poured into it and be caused to function as a whole. And that man will become a great social reformer along the lines of his preconceived notions. But he will not be able to present to the world new ideas concerning social organization. Now, in this Aquarian age, and the thought streams and that are just pouring in, the idea of timelines colliding and merging, there's a lot of new ideas and changes that are happening. Now, in the previous paragraph, it talked about how where if a mind is found, which is very rare, that has a large assortment of ideas and also fluidic, not just fixed, then when that mind, or we should say unit of consciousness, contacts these other planes, these higher planes, with these new ideas that are wanting to come through and express through the vehicle, through the individual, there, that's where the scan is occurring. From these higher planes, we're constantly, of course, being guided and watched and scanned for the unpotentiated aspects to play through us to become potentials and manifest these new ideas, which will assist in building humanity and the collective consciousness in a evolutionary way, which benefits everyone and all, and especially the one creator who had the one original thought. Okay, we could even go back to the one original thought with our thought stream, with our thought forms that we create. Then that's how we create that transmission. And that's how we can perceive the appearances on the outside from the unmanifest. And we'll talk about that in the next chapter. That's when the systematic approach will come into play. But for now, we're talking about thought forms and how powerful they really are. So we have to constantly watch our thoughts. As soon as I think of someone, somebody, and I can visualize them, and I attach an emotion to it, love, then that thought form, that kite, the analogy of using a kite is alive and out there, which will attract. Now, if I think about how much I love, I create the thought form, genuinely create the thought form from within, deep within, from the will of my unit of consciousness, feel the vibration come up, ground it to the earth of how much I love my city that I'm living in, then that thought form will manifest and be very much alive with the focus reflecting down or attracting the other thought forms or repelling the other thought forms. And we'll learn about those concepts in this book also. The Unfortunate did not say any of this. Let me remind you, this is not The Unfortunate speaking. These are most likely Blu-ray masters who are delegated and work under the most wise, who's considered the most wise on the Blu-ray, the Hermetic Ray. All right. Now, concerning those who transmit the messages, they exist upon all the planes of manifestation. And if an individual have free moving matter in the vehicle corresponding to any plane, if it can be molded into the form of that plane. Thus, if he have ears, he can hear upon the physical plane and equally upon every other plane. It depends entirely upon the presence of this unfixed matter in any vehicle. So our beliefs are what shape our thought forms. We have old beliefs, new beliefs, and we let go of old beliefs. We become enlightened and lighten our load, right? We become more open to ideas, and that's why to even travel and see the other cultures around the world, the diversity will help culture the mind and open it up more to obtain more symbols and experiences and perspectives. Because the uncultured mind will be very linear and do the same thing every day, have the same beliefs, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with anyone, because humanity supports humanity. We're all in this together. No one's smarter than anyone else. Okay? We're all sort of playing a role in order for the divine plan and allow these thought forms to come in, but we have to be receptive to them. And the best way to be receptive and be of service to humanity is to be, I was about to say open, but that's almost the same as being receptive, to not focus on non-reception, which would be the more self-centered approach of self-denial, focusing on doubt, obtaining or containing fears of lack of self-worth or judgments, which are nothing more than we're judging ourselves and projecting it out, and it's being reflected back from others. All right. So we really do have to take self-responsibility and know our part and why the choices we make is we have freedom of choice. We don't have freedom. We don't have free will. We have freedom of choice. And we're attempting to free our will because we want to be able to have self-expression in all moments and not focus on the non-reception, which will contract our self-expression to a degree where we're not receptive. We're all seeking reception, whether we know it or not. As we have said before, if a man merely thinks concerning himself and his affairs, his thought forms remain in his own immediate neighborhood and constitute his psychic atmosphere. But if he thinks strongly and persistently of another person, His thought forms will be projected to that person and affect him according to their receptivity. And it is with that the so-called dead as well as the living. For the most part, however, their thoughts concern themselves and remain about them. But should they think strongly and persistently of any person incarnate in the body, their thought will be projected to the neighborhood of that person in exactly the same way as in telepathy between two living people. Not many souls, however, are successful in transmitting their thoughts because a certain skill is required. This means that even when we are thinking of our deceased loved ones, or even our deceased hidden enemies, those thoughts are still connecting through the veil, what we consider the veil, with the so-called dead, and that connection is made. So, if anything, now that the dead can see more clearly, because we are in this dense body with our collection of experiences and memories that is very local, right? If anything, we can send love to the dead because now they're even though it may all be a cosmic joke where it was a pre-birth intent to set the stage to be an enemy, send them love because everything is love, all is love. And if we have a desire to teach love, then this would be the best way to demonstrate how to teach love. Even what we perceive as not love, such as fear and anger and hatred, it is love. Okay, it's just layers and layers of consciousness that we're all building upon within the unmanifest, but where we are the manifesting. Yeshua, in the Way of Mastery, speaks about our creativity and how we are nothing more than the white mist on a wave in the ocean. Okay, we're riding that wave. We are the wave, we are the water, we are the unmanifest, and then it crashes back down as manifested into the unmanifest. So, and then we're all back together again within the unmanifest as the one. All right. So, telepathy between two living people, telepathy between a living person and one of our deceased, same thing. We can actually communicate with whoever we want to. It's our belief systems that may get in the way, along with our emotions, which will contract. But if we remain receptive and allow our emotions to express themselves in that moment without holding back, then that connection is going to be a lot stronger. Most souls recently dead will visualize themselves according to their concept of themselves. That is why the so-called ghost appears to his friends dressed as he was accustomed to be dressed, or the voice which comes through the medium resembles the voice employed by that soul in life. It is only after the soul has long been discarnate that he no longer employs his memory of his physical likeness to build a vehicle of communication, but appears rather in formless mist, which is interpreted as draperies and is colored according to that type of force he works with. All right. So colors, and we can use the seven rays, the seven chakras, the colors, and but ultimately, when we are no longer in form or have the body, then we drop the body, our consciousness, our unit of consciousness will retract, and eventually, well, we go back to sort of a formless mist. But a lot of times of what we call ghosts, and they will hang around because of the attachment to the physical. And a lot of times, especially in the lower astral plane, there can be a lot of confusion. And I know some people here who actually work with those who struggle in the lower astral, who are no longer in body, and these individuals, these people, they incarnated and actually help. They see the lower astral more clear than most people, or the majority of anyone, and they guide these lower astral ghosts who most people would probably be scared of, and they guide them back to what we would call guide them to the light, help them cross over and get the healing that they need. All right, let's keep reading. Now you have questioned much concerning the nature of the communicators who come to you. They are different entities. They are what they purport to be. Coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not tell you lies about themselves. All the same, communication may vary in accuracy and completeness. In the present case, variation is more likely to be in completeness than in accuracy. All right. Yeah, a lot of times we have to discern the message that comes through. We can actually challenge the message. A lot of the others on the other side may claim to be Lord Jesus Christ and truly believe it, or that's the communication channel coming through, but it could be distorted by what we have within our mind and the thought forms that we have, especially when emotions are attached to it. A lot of times the emotions that we carry, which could be consumed with fear, jealousy, anger, a lot of the lower chakra primal energies will attract lower astral ghosts and hauntings, and because of the emotional state. That's why we have to actually create movement within ourselves and create that space and allowance so that those emotions are no longer contracted and as magnetic and pulling in a lot of the different entities that come from the lower astral. In other words, lower astral can be kind of messy, where we would much rather be in the upper astral, where we have more understanding and knowingness, less ignorance and less confusion. We all eventually get there. But while we're in physical form, it was really up to ourself to discern the messages that are coming through. They impress the ideas in their mind upon the plastic matter in the mind of the medium, and she, to the best of her ability, reduces that which is impressed upon her, and as it were, acts the part of the speaker, reproducing mannerisms as well as ideas, because the transmitter visualizes his old personality. In order to make contact with the earth plane, he visualizes himself as embodied in a form and speaking with his lips. So when we use our mind's eye and we can see within our thoughts who we're contacting with, it could be an old friend. I have an old friend who's already crossed over and is hanging around, and I'm constantly thinking about him, and I can see the images. I can feel him now. He He actually is being supportive. He is curious. He also enjoys watching the unfoldment that I'm experiencing. So, and when I, it's not so much I'm asking for a message, but the knowing that he is there and being supportive and we're sending each other the love is all the telepathy that I need. The medium imitates the form as well as reproducing the words because the impressions are received blended. This is where people will be exploring and not really realize that the message is not clear coming through, and then the ego will come in and distort the message. And maybe if working with someone else, the message comes out and it just isn't the original message. So a good psychic medium will be obvious, whereas a bad psychic medium or will also be obvious. Thus, and here's as I'm about to read, here is why. Thus, the voice is the voice of Irving, but the mind is the mind of Shakespeare. A bad actor will interpret the part badly with his own mannerisms. He will not be able to get away from his own personality. But the great actor will express the author. So in this case, the malleable nature of the material and the power to withdraw part of the entity and soul enables a sufficiently detailed and accurate impersonation to occur to enable you to distinguish people by their mannerisms. And the wide range of the mental concept enables elaborate combinations of images to be achieved. Transmitters cannot transcend the mental content of a medium. Only those ideas already in the mind can be used, but they can and do combine them into new patterns. That last sentence is important because transmitters from higher planes, right? Maybe the ideas that are coming through the thought stream during the connection is one thing. And then being in reception of this, combine the collection of images and thoughts and impressions within my subconscious and conscious mind working together, blends together. But the original thought becomes mixed and distorted. And a lot of times that's how, because we're constantly in reception. But depending on how narrow the channel is, the narrow path, right, will determine the outcome here. Let's see what else. So, in conclusion, thought forms. All right. Thought forms are very real. They are entities. There we go. Thought forms are very real. And once we have this understanding of how the energy works, we can know that the magnetism that we create will attract not only people in our lives, but also disincarnations, all right, along with even higher plane entities, which we can contact for to open that channel or whatever endeavor we're on. We could be pursuing ageless wisdom. We could be pursuing how to make the earth cleaner. So there's all out of all the planes, different levels of planes, different degrees of consciousness that are out there, we can utilize these concepts because we're training the mind, we're not informing it on how to be receptive. That's really the crux of all of this talk, is how can I be receptive and have that clear channel open? Now, some of us, including myself, can be very rigid in my way of thinking and organizing and analytical, but that's okay because I also have to be, I have to acknowledge that a lot of the old belief systems that I used to carry are now gone. I've replaced them with new belief systems. I've created new habits, and I'm constantly trying to learn how to use my memory correctly. Not so much in a linear way, but more in a parallel life way. As I mentioned earlier, our higher mind, I gave the example, fragmented its consciousness into 900,000 fragments of units of consciousness in different planets, different galaxies, all for learning experience. So that is an expansive thought that goes beyond earthy belief systems. When we can begin to train our mind to think in these cosmic concepts, then our awareness will open up more and we become more in tune with a lot of the higher understandings. What we would consider in physical form, higher understandings and the appreciation of ageless wisdoms. All right, that'll be all. Thanks.